Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about overcoming sin. As you all know, when we become Christians, we receive a wonderful blessing, don't we? We receive the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And at that moment that we accept Christ into our lives, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all past sins. And Nicky Gumbel at the Alpha Course describes it as a wiper on a car, where Christ, where he keeps on cleanses us all the time. And there's two verses of scripture in the Bible, which I've been sharing now for the last 20 years with so many people. I share them at every Alpha Course. I share them at every opportunity I get. I've shared them many, many times at work. And I'm going to share these two verses of scripture with you today. I think we should all know these two verses of scripture by heart, because some people will think it's too late for them. They've sinned so many times, they've done so many wrong things, and God will now never forgive me. And I want to share with you Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, to start with. These are very encouraging scriptures, these two verses. So we'll share one from the Old Testament first, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. What a wonderful blessing to receive, that God would not remember our sins once we ask for forgiveness. And the other one's from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. It's Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. As I said, these are two of my favorite scriptures. These were the first two scriptures I remembered by heart the minute I became a Christian. And from that day that I became a Christian, I started sharing these two verses with many, many people. And I want to encourage you this evening with these two verses of scripture. Now, it's good that I've said that, but this does not mean that our problem with sin now is over. You know, when we become Christians, we're on fire and we think, I'm never going to hurt God again. I'm never going to sin again. I'm never going to do the wrong thing again. It's from now on, we know we're brand new men, and I don't want to do the wrong thing ever again. But unfortunately, we keep doing the wrong thing sometimes. And we still sin at times. We do. And the Bible tells us that. But we do sin sometimes. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now the word forgive here in Greek, it means to leave behind, to abandon. And the promise to us here from John is that God will forgive. He will leave our sin behind. And that's what I read earlier. Leave it behind. We'll remember no more. Isn't that wonderful if we could do that when we forgive people? When people sin against us, not to remember anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So if we are to maintain a close walk with God, we must overcome the problem of sin. Because if we don't, we will end up repenting, sinning, repenting. And we can never live a Christian the Christian life the way God would want us to live, to repent and to sin, to repent and to sin. So how can we overcome this problem of sin? First, by sinning, of course, less and less and less. And second, by knowing what to do when we do sin. When we do sin, we don't throw our arms up in the air and say, well, that's enough. I can't live this Christian life anymore. I've had enough, and walk away. We don't do that. Let's have a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a wonderful introduction, my dear children. Isn't it? Beautiful introduction. John here warns us about sin. He warns about sin. But he also wants us to know what to do when we do sin. So he's telling us what to do. So to overcome sin, we need first of all to understand how sin develops. And that's what we're going to look at now. How does sin develop? And we're going to look at because the Bible outlines the development of sins in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire he conceives. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So how sin develops? The first stage we see here is temptation. As we just read here in James 1, verse 14. We see that temptation here includes two things. Desire. And some translations say lust. Suggesting a strong desire for something. And secondly, it's enticement, an opportunity and encouragement to satisfy the desire. So we see it's temptation. So it's temptation equal desire plus opportunity. Now I'm going to illustrate that because this is something that happened to me. I shared with you before about the time. And I'm going to share it again. I know I've shared it, but I'm going to share it again because this is a good illustration of what I'm talking about. About the time I really wanted the screwdriver set. This is a really good illustration. I really wanted the screwdriver. I always wanted to buy the screwdriver set. But somehow I could never afford it. So I always bought one here and one there and had all these screwdrivers. But this desire was always there to buy a really good set. And that's going to last me a lifetime, all different sizes, Phillips and Flathead. And at this time, I just became a Christian. I was about a few weeks Christian, maybe 3 weeks or so. And I was working on the waterfront in a huge shed as a security. And in this shed, there was millions and millions worth of cargo. It was a place where they emptied containers, shipping containers. And my job was, especially on night shift and afternoon shift, to walk into this shed, which there's no one there, with my torch and look around and make sure that no one was there. and anyway, one day I walked into the shed and this beautiful screwdriver set, just sitting on a pallet, I don't know was the rest of the pellet, but this screwdriver set was just open. And the minute I looked at it, oh my God, this is what I've been wanting to buy. Always wanted to buy something like that. But of course, straight away the Spirit showed me that now I've become a Christian, and it's not the right thing to do, to take something that didn't belong to me. Now, to tell you what I was talking about before, I was tempted to steal the screwdriver, wasn't I? I was tempted. I had a desire for the screwdriver set. And I had an occasion, I had an opportunity to take it. Now, the temptation became stronger because I wanted them badly, and I had a good chance of getting them without being seen. You understand what I'm saying? I had a good opportunity. There's no one there. Just me and the screwdriver set and millions of dollars worth of other cargo. Now, at this stage, I have not committed a sin. Up to now, I have not committed a sin. Sin has not yet been committed. It's not a sin, of course, to be tempted, as you all know. For Jesus himself was tempted, yet without sin. So that's the first stage, if you like. Now, the second stage is sin itself. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Again, we just read that in James chapter 1, verse 15. I read it again. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So it becomes sin when we act and yield to the temptation, doesn't it? So sin involves the added step of some sort of action on our part. So then becomes sin equals desire, equal opportunity, plus opportunity, plus action. Now the third stage involves the consequences of unrepented and unforgiven sin. Again, in James chapter 1, verse 15, tells us, I'll read it again. Oh no, we just read it. Okay. Now it speaks about death. That's the consequences. And the death spoken here refers to the spiritual separation from God. And this separation occurs first in this life. This is not when we physically die. This separation happens while we're still alive. Separation from God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 tells us that. Just read that one. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isn't that terrible? Terrible to get into that situation. So if we die physically then, in this state, then we will experience the second death, which involves eternal punishment. And that will be a terrible, terrible thing to happen, to die in that state. Putting all this into a final equation, if you like. Equation, is that right? Then we have desire, plus opportunity, plus action, plus no forgiveness, of course, death. So how can we be sure to overcome sin? Because we need to overcome sin. First of all, by stopping its development at any one of the four points leading to that situation. Desire, opportunity, action, no forgiveness. We need to stop at one of them. So how to overcome sin? The most important one is to change our desires. Since this is where the process of sin begins, it is the best place for us to begin. Right in the beginning, the desire. You know, when we read of the sin and its damaging consequences, we come to hate it. We come to hate sin. We see all around us, you know, the consequences of sin, what it causes. Because you have to remember that the enemy never shows you the end of the consequences. He might show you the beginning. You know, he probably would have shown me the screwdriver set. But what he didn't show me is, what if I got caught with a screwdriver set at the end? You know, I had to go out, still had to go out through the gate. And if someone stopped me, you know, it's sometimes we think no one is looking. I could have thought, well, no one is looking at me, you know. I'm taking that screwdriver set. But if I got caught, that would have meant my job was finished, would have been taken to court. Can you imagine the family, dragging the whole family with me? Because losing the job, there's consequences. Money's not going to come in. But the enemy will not show you that part, you know. It will only show you that screwdriver set looks nice. Take it. You know, something you always desired, something you always wanted, take it. But never show you the end or the consequences of that. The word of God can change our desires. As we read of God's love, long-suffering, mercy, and mercy, we desire to serve him. So the more we study God's word, I believe, the less likely we will have the desires to sin. The closer we are to God, the last thing we want to do is sin when you're close to God. You spend a few minutes praying, praising God, and you go out to anywhere. You don't want to sin. The last thing is on your mind, sinning. You don't want to sin. Remember, we are tempted only when there is both desire and opportunity. So we need to cooperate with God by purposely avoiding situations that might excite wrongful desires. And David sets a good example in Psalms. We look at Psalms chapter 101, verses 6 and 7. Psalms chapter 101, verses 6 and 7. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. And also, Paul also gives us a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. You know, I get invited to some places sometimes at work that I don't go. I get invited to some places that I do go. You know, we need to make wise choices to avoid trouble. Many places where some of my panel ever go, I don't feel it's suitable for me to be there. So I just say no. Because if I do go, I don't know what can happen. So avoid trouble. I just don't go. Some places, if we're going out, there's been times when we went to nice places to eat in restaurants, and that was good. We enjoyed it. But other places, I just don't go. So we need to use wisdom. We also need to exercise self-control. Remember, it becomes sin when we yield to action in fulfilling our sinful desires. If we can control ourselves so as to not yield, then we can overcome sin. We can overcome sin. There's no doubt about it. How does a Christian exercise self-control? Of course, self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as you all know. But we'll look at that verse as well. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Also, when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we always know that there is the Holy Spirit within us. And we're not alone. And if we're in trouble, we need to seek the Holy Spirit, that he may help us. And he will. The Holy Spirit will never leave us alone. If we were alone, if we never had the Holy Spirit, I wonder what would happen with us. But because we have the Holy Spirit within us all the time, and that's the promise. That's why he said, I won't leave you alone. I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And also remember that sin is victorious when it results in punishment. So there's always that forgiveness that I spoke to you earlier, that we can come before God when we do mistakes, when we do the wrong thing. We all do. We all do the wrong thing sometimes. We all do mistakes. Unfortunately, we do. But if we obtain forgiveness through the blood of Christ, we can avoid that punishment and so still overcome sin. So we can overcome sin still. By repenting, by asking for forgiveness, we overcome sin. And the enemy hasn't won against us. By his blood, we were forgiven of past sins. By his blood, we can be forgiven of present sins when we repent, pray, and confess our sins to God. And I read 1 John 1:9 earlier. At any time, we can overcome sins that were committed by repenting and confessing them to God. And as I said, don't throw your hands up in the air and say, I give up, as I've heard some Christians in the past saying. I can't live this Christian life because I'm always doing the wrong thing. They blame Satan or they blame, but really, we can only blame ourselves when we do fall, and not Satan. As you know, Satan can't make us do anything. We can blame him, but it's not going to help. We need to come before God and repent and ask him to forgive us for that sin. So isn't the grace of God wonderful? So let's not take the grace of God lightly and attempt to abuse it. And you know, at the end, that verse we read earlier, James chapter 1, verse 12. Let's look at it again. It's a beautiful verse. James 1, just the one verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And that's what we should aim for, that crown. Wouldn't that be beautiful at the end? You know, what's more important than life? You know, serving God or doing what the flesh wants to do? You know, I praise God that again, going back to that screwdriver set, I'm so glad that that day I didn't take it. Even though the desire was so strong to take it. I'm so glad that I was able to walk out and not taking it. Because I proved to myself that, yes, I am a Christian. Even though I've only been 3 weeks Christian. And even though that screwdriver set has been on my mind for many years, that I wanted to buy a nice screwdriver set. But I was able to just walk away. But sometimes maybe someone might not be able to walk away. And that's why God left us that way open, where we can turn to him and ask him to forgive us. Genuine forgiveness, not just saying sorry. Just the Bible says, renew your mind. We need to renew our mind. We need to turn around completely. And if I ended up taking it, I would have repented and God would have forgiven me. But I was glad I was able to walk away before I had to ask for forgiveness. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Father, I don't know what we would have done without your Holy Spirit, Lord. I just pray, Father, that, Lord, we will continue to be strong, Lord. We will continue to use wisdom, Father. Lord, we know what's all around us, Father. It doesn't matter where we go. Lord, we see temptations and desires everywhere we go, Lord. But, Lord, we want to be strong. Father, and Lord, when temptation or the desire come, Lord, we want to focus on you, Lord. We want to open your word, Lord God, and read of your word, Father. We want to get closer and closer to you, Lord. For the closer we are to you, Lord, the farther away we be to our enemy, Lord God. Father, we thank you that the enemy has no control whatsoever, Father, over us. For we have given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you have full control of our life. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will make us strong, Lord. That you will give us wisdom. Lord, for every situation, we will use wisdom, Father. Your wisdom, Lord God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, again for this evening. In Jesus' name.